Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This is an audio version of my videos, available to make listening to my stuff in the background easier than YouTube makes it. But since my videos are primarily made for YouTube, there may be occasional references to visual materials. If you'd like this podcast ad-free, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/vicerhino. Please enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to my channel. Vice Rhino here. Today, I'm looking at a YouTube short that was put out by Sean McDowell, which is giving us 5 reasons that Jesus is God. Hopefully it amounts to more than just, the Bible said so, especially given that depending on which book of the Bible we're reading, the author had a different opinion on the matter, with Mark potentially holding the position that Jesus was just a dude that God adopted as his son, who was then abandoned by God at the crucifixion, causing Jesus to then cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? My point is that not even the Bible is sure that Jesus is God in the way that modern Christians think he is. So even if we stick purely to it says so in the Bible, we're left with a waffly position that could go either way. Let's take a look!
Five reasons to believe Jesus is God in one video. Number one, Jesus claimed to be God.
Bet she quotes from the book of John for this one, because John's Jesus was the superhero God. John's Jesus could do no wrong and never showed any signs of weakness. John skipped important scenes in the story, like the temptation in the desert, the struggle with what he had to do in Gethsemane, and Simon helping him carry his cross, among others, in order to avoid these weaknesses. Yeah, John's Jesus did actually claimed to be God, but also, even if the dude named Jesus that these stories are based on really did claim to be God, that literally is just the claim, the thing that you are supposed to be providing evidence for here. So no, some guy saying, I am God, is not a good reason to believe that that guy actually is God.
In John 8:58, Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am.
Yup, Book of John called it. Also, the very next thing that happens after Jesus said that was for him to sneak out while they were picking up stones to stone him. In other words, he committed the crime of blasphemy for which the sentence was execution by stoning. And yet this happened several times during his ministry, and they never seemed to try very hard to nab him for it. My point here is that if the chief priests wanted Jesus dead, they wouldn't have had to fabricate charges against him like they do at his trial. They directly witnessed him claiming to be God, so they could just do it. It plays out very much like John wants Jesus to be confident in his proclamation that he is God, while also recognizing that such a proclamation carried the death sentence, but wanting his death to be by crucifixion rather than stoning. So he came up with excuses as to why they can never quite manage to get him stoned.
The I am is a reference to Exodus 3:14, when Yahweh appears to Moses.
Yeah, God tells Moses that his name is I am that I am, and so Jesus saying before Abraham was, I am, is a clear reference to this line, and is clearly Jesus claiming that he is God. Once again, though, I'd like to reiterate, that's the claim, not the evidence.
Second, Jesus allowed people to worship him.
I feel like most cult leaders that claim to be God also allow their followers to worship them. Seems kind of like a requirement, to be honest.
In Hebrews 1:6, we have the angels worshiping Jesus as God, and he allowed the apostles to worship him, too.
Yeah, sure. A book says that a bunch of mythological beings worshipped him, therefore he must really be God. Sounds good to me, I guess.
Third, Jesus had the attributes of God.
He was jealous, visiting the iniquity of the fathers onto their children to the third and fourth generation, as laid out in the Ten Commandments. He is avenging and wrathful, as specified in Nahum 1:2. He hated himself, since there's a list of things that God hates that includes a bunch of stuff that God himself does on the regular. I mean, Jesus is the guy that introduced the doctrine of hell and eternal suffering into the religion. Hell didn't really exist in the Old Testament. The afterlife was either non-existence or similar to the Greek idea of Hades, where it was neither eternal paradise nor eternal torture. It was just a place where you continued to exist, neither good nor bad. So yeah, with that in mind, Jesus is avenging and wrathful, and is happy to visit the iniquity of the fathers onto not only their children to the third and fourth generation, but to however many generations there are between Adam and the final generation. So I guess I'll give this one to you, though I feel like we might disagree on the particulars.
For example, he could know what people were thinking. Even demons don't know this.
Could he, though? when he went back to his hometown in Mark, he was surprised that he couldn't do mighty works there because the people who lived there didn't believe in him. I feel like a mind reader wouldn't have been surprised by that.
So he knows what the woman was thinking in John 4 at the well, and he knows what the religious leaders were thinking in Mark chapter 2.
The interesting thing about that bit in Mark chapter 2 is that it can easily be interpreted as Jesus pointing out that no, he is not God, but he has been given a certain amount of authority on earth by God. Verse 7 has the scribes questioning him in their heart, asking, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus replies to this by healing the man whose sins he had just forgiven in order to show that he has the authority on earth to forgive sins. He doesn't do it so that they can know he really is God, just so that they can know that he is acting on God's authority. Also, this kind of calls into question the necessity of Jesus' sacrifice. The whole point of the sacrifice is that God needs there to have been a blood sacrifice before he is capable of forgiving people of their sins. And yet, here's Jesus, pre-sacrifice, forgiving a guy of his sins. If Jesus is God, and he can forgive someone without there being a sacrifice first, then why not forgive everyone without a sacrifice? I mean, obviously he can still limit that forgiveness to those who are sincerely repentant, but the human sacrifice bit seems unnecessary in light of the fact that Jesus didn't find it to be necessary. Also, in the Old Testament, there is at least one instance where God forgives people who have definitely not made the appropriate sacrifices first. Isaiah 43:24-25 says, "You have not bought me sweet cane with money, or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." He blots out their transgressions and forgives their sins, even though they have not made a sacrifice or offering. So, yeah, this isn't really relevant to the question of whether or not Jesus was God, but it certainly does call into question the necessity of the human sacrifice that the entirety of Christianity is based on.
Fourth, Jesus did miracles. I think Elijah, Paul, and Peter did miracles, but Jesus did them by his own authority, rather than appealing independently to God.
So, Jesus did magic tricks and took credit for the magic himself rather than giving God the credit. I mean, sure, there are definitely places where he does that, but worth mentioning here is that magicians, wizards, and spiritual mediums are a real thing in Christianity. In other words, people can do magic without God. Just look at the Witch of Endor in the book of 1 Samuel, who successfully calls up the dead spirit of a prophet of God, Samuel, so that King Saul can consult him. Or Pharaoh's magicians in Exodus, who successfully duplicate a couple of the plagues, and the turning staffs into snakes trick that Moses and Aaron perform. And given that the non-god magic is believed by modern Christians to be satanic or demonic in nature, and that Satan is supposed to be a great deceiver who wants to trick people away from believing in Jesus, I don't see why he wouldn't allow people to perform such magic in their own names as though they were gods. So doing magic tricks and taking credit for them yourself, if anything, should be a massive red flag that the person is a fraud.
And fifth, forgiveness. I can forgive someone who offends me, but Jesus in Mark chapter 2 forgave people who directly, it was believed, sinned against God.
Yeah, and in so doing rendered his entire mission on earth pointless. Because God's not supposed to be able to forgive people without the sacrifice. That's the whole point of Christianity. The only way to get into heaven and avoid hell is to have your sins forgiven through belief in the sacrifice of Jesus. And yet, Jesus freely forgave people before he was sacrificed, meaning that belief in Jesus does not have to be the only way into heaven. God could choose to forgive anyone he wants to. So he could forgive people who just went through life trying to be the best that they could be without requiring any blood magic be done on their behalf. His choice to require an arbitrary belief in an arbitrary sacrifice in order to be forgiven amounts to him choosing to send good people to hell to be tortured for all eternity just because they didn't find claims of Christianity to be credible, while allowing bad people into heaven because, at the last minute, they asked for forgiveness, not from the people they actually harmed in their lives, but from a third party, namely God.
For these five reasons and more, we have good reason to conclude that Jesus is God.
Well, in a one-minute video, I wouldn't expect you to lay out the most thorough of cases, but I would think that you would choose the best five reasons, and this ain't it. And hey, guess what? I successfully made a short-ish video today, because that's it for this one. It's been a while since I did a video that was less than a half an hour. Feels weird. Today's comment of the day comes to us from someone a lot of you guys will recognize, but who seems to have been absent from my channel as of late. S. Glubel. He's back! Yay! So, S. Glubel says, "What's wrong with contradictions in a godless world? Is there a law of non-contradiction? Because you must first establish that there is a universal law of non-contradiction." This was on last week's video about the real problem with biblical contradictions. So, here's the thing. You can assert that it's impossible for there to be a logical law of non-contradiction without your God all you want, but it might be helpful for you to first learn about an internal and an external critique. An internal critique assumes that some or all of a position is true, and then tests that position to see if it's capable of holding itself up. While an external critique is one that doesn't start with any assumptions about the position being critiqued. Now, in my atheistic worldview, I don't actually see a problem with the logical law of non-contradiction. It's just a thing that explains how the universe works. If it worked differently, we'd have a different way of describing it. It works the way it does, so we describe it the way it does. So that's why pointing out contradictions is valid from an atheistic worldview, but the thing is, even if I grant that God is needed for the law of non-contradiction to be a thing, we're still left with contradictions in the Bible, which serve to demonstrate that it is not the inerrant word of God. So whatever God is out there making the law of non-contradiction work is not the Christian God. Try to think about it hypothetically if you can. If contradictions are not a problem without a God, then that means that in order for the contradictions to actually not be a problem, there would have to not be a God, according to the argument you just made. But if contradictions would be a problem if there is a God, then the contradictions show that, at the very least, is not your God. Heads, you lose. Tails, I win. I'd suggest that rather than attacking the very idea of the existence of contradictions, you focus instead on answering all of the important questions that I brought up in that video, since you seem to be of the opinion that contradictions would be a problem for your worldview. Thanks for watching, thanks to Tim Robertson for being my Patreon manager, and special thanks as always to my patrons, Torin, Trappy Jenkins, Herman Miller, and all the rest, who are the only ones who are allowed to worship the God that is my channel. If you'd like to prove that my channel is God, you can join us on Patreon for as little as a dollar per week over at patreon.com/vicerhino, or by supporting the channel in one of the other methods that can be found at links.vicerhino.com, which is also where you'll find links to my other projects. If for whatever reason you want to send me stuff, my PO Box address is in the description. See you next time!